Welcome to the March 2025 News Bulletin podcast for Yacht and Small Craft Marine Surveyors, put together by the International Institute of Marine Surveying. We open our podcast with an introduction from IIMS CEO Mike Schwartz. Dear colleague, I don't like having to inform you, I told you so, about what I am going to share with you, and I take no pleasure from being a prophet of gloom either. However, if you read my column back in January, you may recall that I questioned the future of indoor boat shows, following the collapse of several important indoor events at that time. Now I have read the 2025 edition of the Dutch Indoor Show has been cancelled, and future editions of the Gothenburg Boat Show have been curtailed due to economic conditions. The announcement that this year's 64th Gothenburg Boat Show was the last is confirmation that we are indeed facing challenging times, particularly in the small boat sector. Tough economic conditions would also seem to be one of the reasons why three well-known and highly respected, long-standing British yacht brands have hit the headlines for the wrong reasons in recent months. I am referring to Princess Yachts, about 260 jobs were lost in late 2024, Sunseeker, around 100 people temporarily laid off in December, and Fairline, which fell into administration at the end of January just weeks after the business changed ownership. So, what's going wrong? Contrast this to the seemingly good fortunes of Sunreef Yachts. I had the privilege of being invited to visit their Gdansk shipyard in northern Poland recently to talk about paint coatings, and I witnessed a vibrant boat building business in full swing. On the day I visited the facility, I was lucky enough to watch, quite by chance, as the first 43-meter hull was lifted from the mold, a momentous day and achievement for the company. But is there another reason? I wonder why this business appears to be buoyant whilst some others are seemingly lagging and having to make harsh business decisions to stay afloat. Sunreef Yachts is headed by a visionary individual, Francis Lapp, who is the company's founder and CEO. It is plain to see he is clearly not only an innovator, but also fiercely passionate about boat building. I suspect it is boats first, finances second. My suspicion is that some other boat builders these days are driven primarily by constraints imposed by financial organizations on high that don't share such a deep passion about boat building, and who determine success or failure by the profit made and the balance sheet. In other news, I am delighted to inform you about the first IIMS London conference for some years, scheduled to take place for one day on the 13th of May 2025. The event has been kindly supported by A.R. Brink & Associates and EDOT Solutions. We have been fortunate enough to have attracted a heavyweight lineup of presenters, and I would encourage you to view the schedule and join us at the event, either in person or as an online delegate. Visit our website for more details. Last month, IIMS said goodbye to Rosie Webb after 3 years with the business, and we wish her well in her new role. I am pleased to welcome Alexandria, Alex, Ockenden to the team, who has replaced her in a slightly different role as web and social media administrator. Alex has a Master of Science in Digital Marketing and ABA Honours in Digital Media Production. Joining IIMS is her first proper office job, and we wish her success. In the previous month's newsletter, I introduced the concept of mentoring, something that IIMS is considering formalizing at this time, subject to sufficient mentors coming forward. The initial response has been encouraging, thank you, but if you missed this story last month, I encourage you to have a look and see if this is something for you. More details about how you can register your interest can be found in our February and March news bulletins. Until next month, survey well. For our first story, the Swiss insurance business Helvetia Holdings AG closed its London-based marine book for yachts and marine hull insurance to new business as of the 31st of December last year. This came about through an internal review which identified a subdued outlook for these classes which would have an impact on underlying profitability. The decision to close the book followed an assessment of the marine segment as part of a fuller review of its extensive specialty lines management strategy. The company is continuing to handle yacht and marine hull business coverage from its French office. The size of the company's marine book in London is unknown, as is its involvement with the yacht market. A Helvetia spokesman for the St. Gallen headquartered business said, selective international marine hull business will continue to be underwritten elsewhere within the Helvetia group, managed under the portfolio oversight of Helvetia's French operations. End quote. The exit from marine business in the UK is also in line with a broader strategic initiative by Helvetia to identify cost-cutting needs. This initiative was announced in December last year and it runs to 2027 and includes plans to cut the group's workforce by 500 out of the around 14,000 it currently employs worldwide. Next, the UK Marine Accident Investigation Branch has released a report into a death on board motor yacht Baton Rouge. On the morning of the 23rd of February 2024, the chief engineer on the Isle of Man registered motor yacht Baton Rouge was electrocuted while working on the engine room ventilation system. The chief engineer was replacing a damper actuator, which was situated in a ventilation overpressure duct compartment. The chief engineer's heart could not be restarted, and he was pronounced dead later that morning. The investigation found that the chief engineer commenced the actuator replacement without isolating the electric supply and without a permit to work for electrical maintenance in place. This was likely because he had rationalized the risk and wanted to avoid the limitations of restricting the vessel to emergency power. It was also found that the location of the overpressure duct compartment and the means of access to it met the definition of an enclosed space in industry guidance. However, the definition in the onboard safety management system was not aligned to this and instead focused on toxic atmospheres. As a result, the crew did not consider the overpressure duct compartment to be an enclosed space and did not follow enclosed space working and entry procedures. Since the accident, the yacht's manager, Nigel Burgess Limited, has updated its permit to work guidance for electrical systems, revised the enclosed space definition in the safety management systems of vessels under its management, and promulgated fleet guidance on the changes to the enclosed space definition, permits to work and the need for onboard risk controls, training, and drills. Safety issues identified by the MAIB include: the chief engineer was working on live equipment without suitable arrangements in place to guard against electrical shock. The chief engineer was working in an enclosed space without enclosed space working procedures being in place. A permit to work was not issued for the task and the associated hazards were not identified. The yacht's safety management system definition of an enclosed space was incorrect and focused solely on toxic atmospheres. And there was a mismatch in the definitions of an enclosed space in the Code of Safe Working Practices for Merchant Seafarers. The MAIB added that in view of the actions taken by the yacht's operating company, no recommendations have been made. You can find the full report on our website. Up next, the Bulgarian Boating Industry Association has joined the European Boating Industry as its 30th member. The announcement was made during EBI's General Assembly, held at Boot Dusseldorf. For our next report, Spanish marine market looks mixed. The national nautical market has been stabilizing since 2023, following the growth experienced during the COVID pandemic and the following year. Currently, the data for recreational boat registrations in Spain is around 2019 figures, and with more pronounced descents in certain length segments. In particular, the market for smaller boats up to 6 meters, jet skis, and folding inflatable boats has been challenging. Consumer confidence is yet to fully return with new boats, with construction and chartering still feeling the pinch. In the case of the charter segment, competition from other charter destinations along with increased recreational options and general economic uncertainty has negatively impacted the Spanish sector. Marinas, refit and repair sectors, maintenance companies and marine equipment suppliers are faring much better. Thanks to its strategic geographical location and the high-quality services available, Spain is a key destination for boat repair and maintenance, and this sector is performing positively. Consolidated Spanish shipyards enjoy international recognition, and we are witnessing the emergence of new projects that contribute to diversifying and strengthening our offering. This positions Spain as a benchmark in the Mediterranean for the construction, maintenance, and refit of vessels. Since 2023, sailboat registrations have fallen below motorboat registrations, by an average of minus 12%. However, as a trend, the hobby of sailing in Spain, especially in the north of Spain, continues to grow in popularity. There are several key trends in the current Spanish nautical market. A trend towards larger boats and customization is apparent. Customers are increasingly looking for boats that can be adapted to their specific needs and tastes, with high-quality finishes and increased comfort. ANEN reports that sales of new and used boats were down by 20% in the first 6 months of 2024 to 3,047 units. But sales of large boats over 16 meters were up by 21%. Sales of boats under 6 meters, including jet skis, saw a 23.7% year-on-year drop to just over 2,000 units sold by around October 2024. Next, San Lorenzo, in collaboration with MAN, has revealed further details of its new bi-fuel green methanol propulsion system for yachts. This bi-fuel system, presented during a press conference at Boot Düsseldorf on the 21st of January 2025, will be installed on the new 50X space model and can potentially reduce emissions during navigation by up to 70%. Methanol has been identified as a key fuel for the future of yachting due to its safety, biodegradability, and ease of handling. Already available at over 100 ports, methanol infrastructure requires minimal adaptation, making it a practical choice for sustainable maritime transport. Green methanol, produced from renewable sources, offers a so-called zero-emission solution. Up next, British boat builder Sunseeker International has announced its plans for a new superyacht division focusing on yachts over 100 feet during the UK builder's annual press conference at Boot Düsseldorf. Building on the firm's legacy of delivering over 150 yachts exceeding 100 feet since 2000, the division will launch a range spanning 100 to 140 feet, including the 120-yacht, 135-yacht, and Ocean for 60. During the press conference, CEO Andrea Frabetti highlighted the division's strong order book and plans to expand production capabilities. Next, Ocean Business 2025 has released details on its The Training and Demonstration Program. The three-day show, which runs from the 8th to the 10th of April at the National Oceanography Centre in Southampton, UK, is open to all visitors for free. Find out more at oceanbusiness.com. For our next report, the United States Coast Guard has sent out an alert following two recent marine casualties on commercial fishing vessels, which highlighted hazardous stowage conditions rendering onboard life-saving equipment ineffective. During the first incident, a 41-foot CFV capsized and sank within 2 minutes after taking on water. The personal flotation devices were not stored in an easily accessible location, preventing the crew from retrieving them before exiting the vessel. Additionally, the life raft and hydrostatic release unit were attached to an aftermarket fiberglass canopy, which broke away and floated free during the capsizing, preventing automatic deployment. Fortunately, a crew member managed to swim to the floating canopy and manually deploy the life raft. For the second incident, a 60-foot CFV caught fire, forcing the crew to rapidly evacuate. Although the crew retrieved PFDS before abandoning the vessel, they were not readily accessible. Rather than being stowed at normal workstations, the PFDS had been stowed in the galley within bench seating. Additionally, the throwable life raft was stowed under an internal pilot house ladder, obstructing easy access and deployment. This stowage location was directly above the engine room, where the fire originated. The intensity of the engine room fire prevented the crew from retrieving the life raft before abandoning the vessel. The USCG strongly recommends that operators of CFVs ensure automatically deployable life rafts are attached to a strong, permanent, original structure with no overhead or nearby obstructions that could impede their float-free deployment. Stow manually deployable life rafts in accordance with USCG requirements for readily accessible life raft launching, per 46 CFR 28.125. Store PFDS in locations that are readily accessible to all crew members and, if possible, in a manner that allows them to float free in the event of capsizing. Read the full safety alert at iimsusa.com. Up next, leading superyacht refit, repair, and maintenance company MB92 Group has bought GYG Limited, the superyacht coating specialist, service and supply company that trades under the Pinmar Yacht Supply and Technocraft brands. MB92 reports that all brands will continue to operate independently across Europe and the US. MB92's acquisition of GYG follows other strategic developments for the group, including MB92 taking over the Golf Juan shipyard in the south of France in October 2024. MB92 will continue to collaborate with a range of providers, giving clients the flexibility to work with their preferred partners while benefiting from MB92's extensive expertise, developed through managing over 10 large-scale paint projects annually across the group. For our next segment, the Republic of the Marshall Islands Maritime Administrator has published Yacht Safety Advisory 13-24 on fatalities due to falls from height. Since 2019, falls from height on RMI flagged commercial vessels have been the leading very serious marine casualty by incident type. It accounts for 31% of VSMCS and has resulted in 22 deaths. In the last 2 years, 11 seafarers have died falling from height. The Maritime Authority has stressed the importance of wearing fall protection equipment when a risk of falling from height exists. It recommends the following. The administrator strongly recommends that the owner or the owner's representative review and amend, as necessary, onboard safe working practices to ensure they comply with the requirements outlined in the RMI Yacht Code, MI-103. The review should take into account task and location-specific safety assessments addressing the risk of falling. Masters should hold a special safety meeting to review and discuss the information provided in this yacht safety advisory and related safety flyer on falls to ensure that risks of falling from height are adequately understood. It is also recommended to display the accompanying safety flyer on falls on board in areas where yacht crew are likely to interact with it daily. www.register-iri.com under the Yacht Technical Support tab. Next, the UK Maritime and Coast Guard Agency has published an amendment accepting electronic chart systems for commercial fishing and small vessels up to 24 metres in length. The update goes under MGN 319, MNF, Amendment 2, Acceptance of Electronic Chart Systems for Fishing Vessels and Small Vessels in Commercial Use, Code Boats, up to 24 metres in load line length, SV-ECS. The MCA will accept electronic chart systems complying with the Small Vessel Electronic Chart System Performance Standard as satisfying the chart carriage requirements stipulated within SOLAS Chapter 5 Regulation 19 for applicable vessels. The SV-ECS Performance Standard is published by the MCA only and this guidance notice should be read in conjunction with it. Original equipment manufacturers are required to provide a signed self-declaration, certified copy of which must be kept on board the vessel. To satisfy the statutory requirements, vessels must comply with these standards, including the provision of suitable backup arrangements. Electronic chart systems conforming to the SV-ECS performance standard are not a substitute for approved electronic chart display and information systems for vessels which are mandated to carry ECDIS, and they are not accepted for use other than prescribed in this notice. You can find the guidance in the news section on our website. For our next story, the United States Coast Guard has released a marine safety alert after a pilot house alerter system failure caused a dock collision. A towing vessel was pushing a barge loaded with aggregate when it collided with a bulk liquid transfer terminal pier on the Columbia River. The Coast Guard's marine casualty investigation determined that the operator fell asleep at the helm, resulting in more than $1.5 million in property damage to the barge, handling equipment, and the facility. The incident occurred near a pipeline that could have discharged 25,000 gallons of synthetic diesel into the waterway. The investigation also identified the failure of the pilot house alerter system as a key contributing factor. Required by 46 Code of Federal Regulations for towing vessels more than 65 feet in length with overnight accommodations and single-person pilot house watches, this system monitors bridge activity and detects incapacitation of the vessel's operator. The system should trigger an alarm at adjustable intervals, not exceeding 10 minutes, and reset via methods like push buttons, floor pedals, or motion detection. During this incident, the system's time interval was set to 10 minutes and relied on passive infrared detectors to monitor motion in the pilot house. However, PIR sensors, which detect motion, were influenced by non-human movements such as swinging cables and oscillating fans, causing the system to fail in detecting the operator's inactivity. The system used was not designed by a marine equipment manufacturer, which raises concerns about its reliability in marine environments. The U.S. Coast Guard has issued strong recommendations to help prevent similar casualties, which you can find at on the USAIIMS website. And for our final story, the Australian Maritime Safety Authority has released details of a court case involving high-speed commercial vessel Falls Express crashing into falls at McClarty Range in the West Kimberley in Western Australia on the 27th of May 2022. AMSA has said the horrific and high-profile incident involving the domestic commercial vessel has demonstrated that a safety management system is only as effective as its implementation. 25 passengers and two crew were on board Journey Beyond Adventure's Pty Limited owned and operated vessel Falls Express when it crashed into Horizontal Falls in 2022. Charges were laid by the Commonwealth Director of Public Prosecutions, on referral from AMSA, following an investigation which built a weight of evidence against both the master and company. The Perth Magistrates Court convicted the master and Journey Beyond Adventures Pty Limited, operator of a domestic commercial vessel responsible for involved in the Horizontal Falls boat crash in May 2022. The court took into consideration victim impact statements and safety and training measures when it handed down its verdict. In the Perth Magistrates Court of Western Australia, the vessel's master pleaded guilty to two charges contrary to the Marine Safety, Domestic Commercial Vessel, National Law, and was fined $12,000 with a conviction recorded. Journey Beyond Adventures Pty Limited pleaded guilty to a single charge and was fined $15,000. That's all we have for this month. Thanks for listening.